You're tuned to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And coming up right now, Dana Gipps, who is the president of Wilton Go Green, should be joining me on the phone. Can you hear me, Dana?
I can hear you great.
Perfect. I know you have an event coming up, which we'll talk about in just a couple of minutes, but tell me, what is Wilton Go Green?
Wilton Go Green is actually a very small nonprofit organization located here in Wilton, Connecticut. And it was founded about 10 years ago as a spinoff from the Wilton Energy Commission. Folks wanted to put on a green festival, and they did that. And that was in 2010. It was such a success that the people surrounding that decided to form this group called Wilton Go Green so they could keep engaging the public and educate them about conservation, recycling, energy, and other natural resources. So I was actually not a member of that committee in 2009-2010, but I did attend the first festival, and I loved it so much that the next year I volunteered. And then a couple years later, I just started going to meetings and got on the board and have been completely involved with them ever since. I am now the board president and helping just to promote sustainability in Wilton and surrounding Fairfield County. And basically, our motto is to act locally but think globally. So that's what we've been doing.
So tell me what some of your other activities are throughout the year. I noticed you had quite a lot.
Yes. So I'd say we're probably most famous for our No Idling campaign that we rolled out a few years ago. There's a little-known ordinance in the state of Connecticut that vehicles are not supposed to idle for more than 3 minutes unless under severe conditions like, you know, extremely cold weather. And so we brought it before our town of selectmen, and they had them sign this proclamation. And so we self-produced these beautiful green and white no idling signs, put them all over our town. And basically they serve as a reminder to people to turn off their engine. And it also helps other people remind them, let's say you go to Starbucks to get something and you see someone sitting there and they're on the phone and they've been there a long time. You could just sort of kind of point to the no idling sign, and usually people are, you know, don't even realize they're idling, and they turn off their engine. And so that's been really, really successful. If you want, we can talk about why idling's bad in a little while. But
I think I got an idea. A little greenhouse gas coming out of that pipe.
Too. And then we've also recently rolled out a zero waste schools program, where in all of our public schools in the cafeterias, we provide recycling and composting, where none of that existed about 2 or 3 years ago. So
that's so great.
Yeah, it is so great, and it's actually it's spreading regionally, that program too. So we're super proud of that.
And they also have, don't they have like some kind of a sustainable school lunch program at least the Wilton High School? I think there was last year. That's something I picked up, I think, from the previous festival at the fair at the Wilton High School Fieldhouse.
Yeah, so we did have a sustainable lunch that we provided that day, and we will have that again at this year's fair, which is coming up this Saturday. I know we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but the Wilton High School has an organic gardening club and a greenhouse, and they do grow salad and some other vegetables that is incorporated into the Chartwell's lunch system, and the kids can buy the food that the students grow, which is pretty cool.
It is cool. Well,
yeah.
Well, you have the reason I got in touch with you is because of this big event that's coming up this Saturday, March 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the event.
So the event is, it's a zero waste fair, and we have several exhibitors, dozens and dozens of exhibitors, where participants can learn about backyard farming, about why single-use plastics are bad. There's going to be beekeepers there. We have a zero-waste store where people can purchase things like reusable straws and shampoo bars. There's a conversation zone where we're going to talk about a lot of the hot topics in conservation, including the recycling, what's in, what's out, and what's going on at the state level with a plastic bag ban. There's going to be a zero waste tiny home there with zero cool. waste rain garden. And of course, you know, as we spoke about before, we offer the zero waste fair for purchase. And we're really trying to make it as zero waste an event as possible. We've actually rented dishes so not to use the disposables that they usually use in the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
And we are discouraging all of our vendors from even bringing plastic water bottles with them, unless they're the reusable kind, and not giving out lots of paper as promotional material. What we've encouraged everybody to do is create QR codes where people can get any kind of information they want through their phones.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So one thing I think you mentioned when we spoke on the phone over the weekend is there's some discussion groups, right? And one thing is about what is and is not acceptable for recycling. Single stream with recycling.
Yes, that's correct. So,
which I think is great because people are. I'm pretty into that, and people are confused. I think as to what we're all well-meaning, but they're confused as to what is okay to recycle and what is not okay to recycle. And I'm pretty into it, and I still have some confusion as well.
Well, honestly, so do I, and so do other members of our board because. We get stuff, we have packaging and products, and a lot of it comes with that little recycling logo on the back, the three little arrows that
right.
form a triangle
yep.
with a number inside it. And I believe right now they're only actually recycling numbers like 1 to 4,
right.
maybe 5, but definitely not 6 or 7 anymore. And I think partially is the responsibility of the manufacturers and also maybe the state and, federally, but it makes it really hard for people. So hopefully if you come to the fair, that's a takeaway that you can get from it is to just kind of discern what you can actually put in your blue bin.
Yeah, because you want to be helpful, and you also want to – part of the reason – the recycling is having difficulties right now is because the market prices for all the recycled materials have dropped a lot because the Chinese, for example, are not accepting recycled material like they used to. it's important that we kind of get it right because that helps to keep the value of it up and make it viable.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, the haulers do have to take everything, but they might not be so careful at sorting it. And so if there is contamination, then it isn't going to be able to be sold. And actually, I was just reading today that the municipalities were being paid 25 tons. $25 a ton for their recyclables.
Right.
And now that's going to be changing. I think in June or July, municipalities are going to have to pay $75 a ton.
Right.
So I know that there's going to be a big scramble to try to, A, to have people really get it right, and then B, also to kind of discourage our society of just throwaway plastics.
Right.
Which is, I think, where the bigger issue lies.
Yeah. I had high hopes for recycling, particularly in plastics. I mean, for years I avoided, I wouldn't buy products that were in certain kind of packaging. And then all of a sudden they were accepting, yeah, as you said, like the higher numbers of plastic recycling and the clamshells that you get in the store, you know, the like produce comes in and cookies come in. I avoided all those materials for years, and then all of a sudden they were recyclable, and I kind of went, oh, okay, I will start buying that stuff. But now, yeah, maybe the solution is just not to get that stuff at all in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then, you know, I actually try to reuse some of that stuff because sometimes it's really unavoidable. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to repurpose some of that. Some of it's really solid, that clamshell stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, you can use it for organizing other household things or, you know.
Storing food.
But then it comes to a point, well, how much can you actually reuse that? So really reduction is the answer, I think.
Yeah. Hey, may I share an idea with you?
Absolutely.
This is something I've been thinking about for the state of Connecticut. What if we offered tax incentives to industries who do sustainable manufacturing utilizing recycled materials? I mean, it's got to be very attractive right now because the cost of materials is so low for companies that use recycled materials, and there's a wide gamut of different things that they could manufacture. If we as a state help to foster that kind of business, perhaps some of these recycling costs that we're going to be facing will go away. We'll improve the market. We will save us ourselves the necessity to ship stuff, you know, out of state or overseas to recycle it. Just a thought.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous idea to me, and it solves a couple of problems, right? Because I know we have a really high tax base here, so any kind of incentive we can give to businesses is great, you know, on top of the environmental impact that it would have in such a positive way. So I think we need to figure out who we should bring that idea to, your idea to.
Yeah.
Present. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm planning to send it to my state representative and state senator. Wilton and my town, Ridgefield, share the same state senator. And,
okay.
And maybe Ned Lamont, too. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we have great senators, so.
Absolutely. Although that wouldn't, I don't know that they would necessarily get involved in that, but perhaps. Certainly would be a good place to plant the idea, because they're smart guys and they might be able to figure out a way to make that work.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I hope you come to the fair. And
I absolutely will.
Yeah. During one of those conversations, you know, when it seems appropriate, I bring that up and, you know,
yeah,
we can run with it.
I'm pretty sure I went. I can't remember if I went last year or the year before. It's kind of embarrassing.
So last year was the first year we did it. So it have to have been last year.
There we go. Yeah. And it was really interesting. I met so many cool people and saw so many ingenious, creative people, you know, doing interesting things to make, you know, the world more sustainable, greener and more sustainable.
Yeah, well, we're going to have those same people are going to be back. I don't know if you checked out. One of our Alexandra does what she calls zero waste hacks, and she shows people how to make your own cleaning products and your own food wraps, and that that is such a great area to visit when you go.
I did talk to her because
I
came away with this idea of vinegar and alcohol as a sort of Windex like material. And,
and
it works great.
And then you just use your old Windex bottle and you put it in there. And so, you know, I don't know how many bottles of Windex you go through a year, but if you're making your own cleaning solution, those bottles last a really, really long time.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, that's so much less plastic that you're putting in the recycling that's already overburdened.
We're talking to Dana Gipps, who is the president of Wilton Go Green. This Saturday, the 23rd, is the Zero Waste Fair, Wilton High School Fieldhouse in Wilton, Connecticut. You're very excited about this tiny house, zero waste tiny house. Tell me what you know about that.
Well, you know, there's the whole tiny house kind of movement that's been going on in the country where people are sort of downsizing and.
Oh, yeah. I get the HGTV. Or I've had a chance to watch it sometimes. I love that idea. So, it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And, you know, when you live in a tiny home, I mean, you probably really have to be zero waste in a way just because you have such limited room. But I actually haven't seen the house yet. I'll be seeing it, I think, for the first time either Friday night or Saturday morning. So, but it's going to incorporate a lot of zero waste ideas. There's going to be a rain barrel there, a tiny room, just to show how, you know, you can collect your rain to water your garden. And I wish I could give you a little bit more information about it, but it's going to be in the back, and it's going to have its own little zone. And I think there's even going to be, you know, a small chicken coop with the house, and it's going to be a really great visual example of how to live tiny and zero waste.
Do you know where those people are coming from? Or is it a business? Or
They're pretty local. It's either just over in Westchester, or might it be in Greenwich. I'm sorry, I don't know the specifics because there's about three or four of us that are on the fair committee, and that's not under me. But we are working with a group called Sustain, who is an amazing group that's in Fairfield County, and they're the ones that sort of had recruited them to come. So I think if you go to Sustain's website, it's Sustain, but it's got two N's in there. So it's, I'm going to try to spell it off the top of my head, Sustainne. So you could probably find some more information there about the builder of that tiny house. I'm sorry, I can't provide that for you right
That's
now.
That's okay. That's okay. One great conversation I remember I had, now I know, last year, was with the people from Ambler Farm, which is this great park and agricultural endeavor in Wilton. And they were really fascinating. They do a lot of cool stuff up there.
Well, yeah, well, they'll be back again. And they produce their own maple syrup there. So I don't know if they're going to have any for sale, but if they do, that's definitely a good buy. But Ambler Farm is definitely, you know, one of our sustainability partners here in Wilton. They have their own organic farm. They're not quite in farming season yet, but they're all organic there. And they're really a wonderful organization to have in our town. And one thing that they do is help collect the Christmas trees that they sell, and then they give it back to Trout Unlimited, and they use that to bolster the Newark River.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's cool. It's create a little trout habitat in the river?
Yeah, what it does, they use the Christmas trees to build up the banks, and it helps the trout run better in certain areas. So it's a great way to, I hate to say dispose of, but for lack of a better term, dispose of your Christmas tree.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially a recycling kind of thing.
Yes.
It's degradable and...
Yes, and eventually it will become part of the landscape by biodegrading naturally.
Right. So the Zero Waste Fair is this coming Saturday from... March 23rd from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And your website, how can people get information about this?
Yeah, so they can just go to wiltongogreen.org. And right on our homepage, we've got a poster about the fair, and then they can click around for more information about us and the fair and some of the other things that we have done and are doing.
Anything else that you're really excited about that you want to let our listeners know about?
Well, also, we're going to have some sheep shearing. I think there's two sheep shearing demonstrations at the fair.
In the field house?
In the field house.
Really?
Yes, they're going to be in the field house. And we have Cheryl the Sorcerer coming. He's going to be putting on two recycling magic shows. And he's a don't miss.
Yeah?
Yes, he has a lot of useful information. He's a lot of fun to watch, but he's actually teaching, you know, adults and children who are listening and watching his performance all about recycling. One thing that I learned from Cyril a few years ago was that in an aluminum can, the most valuable part is the pull top.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. My kids like to take them off, and it drives me crazy. But I say, you know, just leave them on. So when we bring them back to redeem them, that really valuable resource is getting recycled.
You got any idea why that is?
I think just because it's the most dense.
Uh-huh. It has the most material.
Yeah, the can is very thin, and yeah, it's pretty dense. Uh-huh.
I know. But Cyril, it's a big favorite of crafty folks, right? I've seen some crafts utilizing pull tops from aluminum cans.
Yes. And another really cool thing we're going to be doing at the fair is make your own reusable bag from a T-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun project, and you can, if you walk around and you can have a good time, but then if you feel like sitting down for about a half hour,
uh-huh,
you can sit down and make one of those, and I don't think we're charging for that. In fact, there is no charge for the fair. There's a suggested donation just to help cover our costs, because we are all self-funded, and we do have to, you know, pay to put on the fair. That we have some expenses that we incur, but mostly everything's free, and it's a great day for families to come out and learn and have a good time at the same time.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm definitely planning on making it there. It was really so interesting last year, and I'm sure many of our listeners will be interested as well. By the way, I did post it on the WPKN community calendar with the correct dates and times.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we were going to have a silent auction there, too, because I'm running that. So.
Great.
That way you can bid on wonderful products that were donated, and it goes to a great cause.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dana, thank you so much for sharing all the information about the Zero Waste Fair this weekend.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to meeting you there. And any of your listeners, come find me. I'll have a name tag on, and I'd love to meet you.
All right. Thank you, Dana. Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much.